Welcome you to episode 372 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And now, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. It's easy and affordable online therapy. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. So visit BetterHelp.com/Alonzo and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Alonzo. For 10% off your first month. It's worth it. So, let's get right into it. This is sad and interesting. I guess Mississippi just has to Mississippi. Well, what else are you going to do? It seems Mississippi has given millions of dollars in welfare money, not to poor people, even though it's the poorest state in the nation, and 18% of the population in Mississippi lives below the poverty line. But where did the welfare money go? The welfare money went to rich people, one of whom is Brett Favre, the retired NFL quarterback. Brett Favre was paid $1.1 million in federal welfare funds in 2017 and 2018 for motivational speeches. Here's the thing. Not only weren't the speeches motivational, they weren't even done. He didn't do the speeches. Now, he's paid the money back, but he still owes $228,000 in interest. Of course, his lawyers say that he did nothing wrong, but if you did nothing wrong, you wouldn't have paid back $1.1 million. It also seems, and this is from an audit, okay, this audit was done on these federal welfare money, $70 million in a temporary assistance for needy families, a TANF, that's what it's called, welfare funds, went to Favre, the athlete, a pro wrestler, a horse farm, and a volleyball complex. How much of it went to getting water to Jackson, Mississippi? That would be none. None of this money went to them. They've been warned. In the 70s, the EPA told them that the city needed to update its infrastructure. They haven't done a thing, and now, as we know, they have no water in Jackson, Mississippi. The interesting thing is they spent $70 million and they collected $75 million. And when I say Mississippi has to Mississippi, what I mean is they're taking care of rich white people and screw the black people. Jackson, Mississippi is 80% black. And they don't care that they don't have water. For Brett Favre, this is the thing. Do I think Brett Favre is directly racist, as in he walks around hating black people or he's one of the Proud Boys? No. But I think he's comfortable with it. He's comfortable with Mississippi and Mississippi's history of racism. And it literally paid off for him to the tune of $1.1 million prior to the audit. So this is why I say Mississippi has to Mississippi. I don't know. There's people. Listen, you can send money to Jackson, Mississippi. They're buying water. They're trucking in water. But that will not solve the problem. That is a band-aid. That'll help day to day. Believe me, the people need the water. But the infrastructure, the actual water pipes, everything, the whole system is old and broken down. And they're not doing a thing. They're not doing a thing about it. It's remarkable. Oh, I'm sorry. They are doing something about it. They're giving the welfare money to rich people. Listen, when a pro wrestler, the Million Dollar Man or whatever hell his name is, and his son get this money, and we're talking millions of dollars. His son got like $4 million. Plus, they use the money to pay for him to go to rehab. It's how is this not criminal? I don't know. I don't know how the federal government does not prosecute this as outright fraud and remove these people who are in charge from office. I don't know. You know, these red states always, we want smaller government, keep the federal government out of our business, blah, blah, blah. Unless we can take money from the federal government and divide it up amongst ourselves. Then it's okay. On the same topic, in the same run, stealing money, fraud, whatever you want to call it, Bank of America is refusing to forgive the PPP loans that they made. Now, as you know, the PPP loans were done early in the COVID epidemic, given to small businesses to help them continue their payroll, to keep things moving, to get money. You applied for this PPP loan, and then when you showed you used it for your business or your employees or your payroll or whatever, the loan was forgiven by the government. Well, not with Bank of America. What Bank of America did was, rather than let you use the Small Business Administration's portal to apply for your loan, Bank of America forced their borrowers to use its own portal. And when you use their own portal, you are subject to their rules, which is now coming to bear. The business owners who use Bank of America have to not only pay back the loans, but Bank of America is taking part of their payment in the name of, quote, finance charges. Now, these finance charges aren't the interest. The interest is 1%, and the interest started from when you got the loan. But these finance charges seem to be totally variable and therefore bogus. For example, one business owner on a $2,000 payment, Bank of America took $700 as a, quote, finance charge. Another payment, $569, they took $423 as a finance charge. Now, this isn't typical interest, okay? How do we know it's not typical interest? Well, one business owner was charged $233 in finance charge in November and $10.36 in finance charge in December. So, Bank of America is trying to say it's interest, but it's not. They're saying that, well, we get the finance charge up front. Like, if you get a mortgage early on in the mortgage, you're just paying the interest. Very little goes to principal. Most of it goes to interest. And then over time, it switches over, and then you start paying down the principal. So this is what Bank of America is trying to claim, but the problem is it isn't consistent. So the question they're asking is, okay, if these are finance charges, then why are you taking lump sums of money? Why are they variable month to month, et cetera, et cetera? Because Bank of America is a bunch of crooks. That's why. Oh, by the way, Bank of America, who's not forgiving the loans, and it's also making a 3% fee off of the loans, right? But they were already paid their fees by the federal government when they first started. When Bank of America agreed to do these PPP loans, it was forecast that they would make $755 million from the loans that they made. That's from the government. In other words, the government's paying them a fee of $755 million. Now they're charging a fee to the borrowers. And this is the same Bank of America that collected, let me look it up, because I looked at it before. And I want to say it was $80 billion. Yeah. Yeah, Bank of America got $80 billion in the bailout back in 08. And I'm pretty sure that was forgiven. Crooks, straight up. And Bank of America has not as bad as Wells Fargo, not as long a history as Wells Fargo, but Bank of America is a bunch of crooks. White privilege, which numerous white people say isn't real, and yet they have cards. Yes, they have cards. School in Oklahoma, Charles Page High School, kids showed up with white privilege cards. They've been popping up all over, but anyway, they're passing out the cards. The cards say, quote, white privilege trumps everything, member since birth, good through death, cardholder scot-free. Yeah, they think, this is the weird thing. These were created by a black comedic influencer online named Joel Patrick, and he claims these cards Were the intention of humor? Well, I don't know, and I don't know how, what he was thinking, but these white kids at this high school are carrying around these white privilege cards. They were using them. One kid gave a minority kid a white privilege card, as he called them, a racial slur. Now, I'm going to assume that this kid was black. So what if the black kid, I'm just saying, we're hypothetical. White kid gives a black kid white privilege card, calls him out of his name. Black kid punches white kid in the mouth and hands him a race card. Is it all fun and games? No, of course not. The superintendent of education, by the way, the black and brown kids at the school walked out, like 40 kids walked out in protest. The superintendent, Sherry Durkee, says that these actions are not tolerated or condoned. We were able to investigate. It's being handled, and you know, we're going to talk to the parents and blah, blah, blah. It's important to listen to the kids and understand what they're thinking. Really? So without listening to the kids, you didn't know that white privilege cards might not be funny, might be offensive, might anger kids as you hand them out around the school? Good thing the kids let you know about that. Well, Durkee said there's an app. There's nothing to worry about. There's an app that parents and students can report issues to called Stop It. You know what? Why don't you stop it? You're the superintendent of schools. You're allowing this to go on, and you better believe the punishments will be lightweight, if at all. White privilege. And speaking of white privilege, in the ultimate white privilege, Trumpy is going to get away with it. That's my prediction. Donald Trump is going to get away with stealing of classified documents, violation of the Espionage Act, etc., etc. Why? Well, because he appointed the judge who's doing the rulings. He appointed this judge in 2020 on his way out because maybe he knew he'd be in trouble. So the judge said that there has to be a special master. A special master is someone that supposedly both sides agree on, and they look at all the evidence and decide what can be used, what can't be used, what's relevant, what isn't. Guess what? You know this special prosecutor is going to have a real problem with using any of the classified documents in court. So there's an appeal against the special prosecutor, and they filed something called an abacus brief. And this is a brief filed in opposition to her decision, basically lawyers saying you're wrong and this is why. And the brief was submitted, and this is interesting, by former prosecutors who served in Republican administrations and have decades of experience prosecuting cases involving sensitive materials or advising on matters regarding the proper scope of executive power and executive privilege. Now, that let's look at that again. Decades of experience prosecuting cases involving sensitive materials and executive power and executive privilege. In other words, probably nobody knows more about this than these prosecutors who filed this brief to tell the judge why she was wrong to apply the special master. So the judge simply responded, I'm looking. Upon review of the motion, the court appreciates the Movens' willingness to participate in the matter, but does not find the proposed appointment of Amici Curiae, which is, I guess, the Latin term, to be warranted. The Latin term for amicus brief. So she's like, yeah, thanks for your help, but no. I mean, you're only federal prosecutors under Republicans to show that it's not partisan, because that was one of the accusations, and you only have decades of experience with secret documents and executive privilege. So the judge, who was just given the job by Trump, said, we don't need your help. Last thing any Trumpy wants is experts. Although you have to wonder who's given him this legal advice. He certainly didn't know anything about a special master. But that's it. So like I say, I don't think anything's going to happen. I think it's the ultimate white privilege, and much like the card says, white privilege trumps everything. Speaking of which, since we're on a roll, and don't worry, I'm going to get away from this, but I got one more thing. Margaret Court is an angry old white lady who used to play tennis. Margaret Court won 24 open titles. Margaret Court played in an era when there weren't professional tennis players, there were amateur tennis players. Margaret Court spoke out against gays, saying that it's against her religion and she doesn't recognize and blah, blah, blah. And get this, and I'm sure you're surprised, Margaret Court has a big problem with Serena Williams because Serena doesn't mention her. Serena doesn't admire her as she feels Serena should. Jason Whitlock is another angry old white woman. No, Jason Whitlock is a sports reporter. He's like the Candace Owen of sports, the Clarence Thomas of sports. So he has a problem with Serena being listed as the GOAT. Now, one argument he makes, you might say, okay, this is a legitimate argument, in that Martina Navratilova or Chris Everett or Billie Jean King or even Steffi Graf have more wins than Serena. Okay, and that might be an argument. They have more finals appearances. That might be an argument. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Jason Whitlock goes into the dog whistle, and it's a loud dog whistle against Serena. Serena benefits from the woke era of sports media coverage. The fact that she's black puts her on steroids and distorts the entire argument. Okay, that's one of the dog whistles that they've always tried to say, that Serena is on steroids. Okay, he also talks about an enormous athletic advantage over everybody she played against. Yeah, she's got genetic talent advantage over everybody, including her sister. See, that was the other dog whistle, that Serena is somehow a genetic freak and that's why she won. Well, guess what, Jason? Pro athletes are genetic freaks, all of them. Look, can the average person jump like Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan could fly. The man could literally fly. Shaquille O'Neal, 7 foot plus, 300 pounds of muscle that could sprint. Genetic freaks, yeah. Yeah, LeBron James can move like a ballerina at 6 foot nine, 260, 270 pounds. Yeah, you know who's a genetic freak, Jason? You are. You are. You're a fat, jealous, worthless clown. And you're what they want. You're the house nigga. You're the straight up. You're the house nigga that has to find a problem with any black athlete. So, of course, you're going to find a problem with Serena and agree with the angry old white woman that Serena ain't the GOAT. Well, fortunately, the world is on the other side, Jason, and Serena is the GOAT. All right, enough of that nonsense. I want to talk about what happened, what's going on in California right now. And when I say right now, we're in our 10th day of 100-degree weather. So, Governor Gavin Newsom said that, that California is going to ban gas-powered cars. They want to phase out gas-powered cars by 2035. 2035, new cars and passenger trucks, California will be zero-emission vehicles. Okay. Shooting, aiming high. That's the plan. And I guess it's a good plan. It is a good plan. So this past week, the governor and the state asked that people cut back on the use of electricity between the hours of 4 and 9 p.m. It's kind of prime time. They said, at that time, can you raise your air conditioner to 78 degrees? Can you not charge your electric car in that five-hour period from 4 to 9 p.m.? Well, people lost their minds. They love, how can we all have electric cars if we're not allowed to charge our cars between 4 and 9 p.m. and blah, 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 and this and that. Why isn't the power grid strong enough? You know, why do we have to listen? It's very simple. And I think the problem is there's a big draw on the power grid from these people's time machines that have somehow projected them forward to 2035 to show that the grid won't be ready. Because the grid may not be ready now, but by 2035, it very well could be. It's also talking about new car sales. It's not talking about every car on the road. It's talking about new cars being sold. Okay? Stop whining. Stop. It's not forever. It's not a law. They're asking you to use less power. They're asking all of us Californians to use less power between 4 and 9 p.m. to avoid rolling blackouts. There was something like 1.2 gigawatts saved by people in that period, which is enough to power 750,000 homes. In other words, it worked. You know what that's called? It's called a sacrifice for the common good. And it's not even that big a sacrifice. People don't charge their car between 4 and 9 p.m. Most people with electric cars plug them in overnight. They use late-night electricity because late-night electricity is cheaper. Yeah, the rates go down, off-peak hours. And who knows in 2035 how much electricity, how much bigger the grid will be. In the early 1900s, when cars were first invented, I'm sure these same people were like, hey, can't give up my horse. You can't buy gas everywhere you can get hay. Got hay for my horse. Can't get gas for your newfangled automobile. They're destroying us. These same people always whine and complain. Like, that's what I said. They've got time machines. They're up in 2035. You know who had to sacrifice for the common good? I'm just throwing this out there. World War II. During World War II, I'm sure there were people who were upset they couldn't buy a new GM car because GM was building tanks. They couldn't get a new Ford because Ford was building airplanes. There were shortages on plastic. Women couldn't get stockings and whatever. And I'm sure there were a ton of people complaining, but you know what? No one remembers them. We remember the people who sacrificed. We remember the people who worked to the common good that helped us win the war. We remember them. But the whiners, nobody remembers. You know why whiners? Because nobody cares. Now, I've lived in California for 40 years. And when I came here in 1980, you could see the air. The air was brown over the L.A. basin. Especially when you flew in, you could literally look down and see the layer of smog over L.A. And they formed the California Air Resources Board, and they came up with the strictest emissions regulations in the country. If you're old enough to remember, there was a time when there were 49 state cars and California cars. The restrictions were so strict, they literally had to make the cars different for California. Everyone was upset. It was the end of the world. They banned aftermarket exhaust systems, headers, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? You can't see the air over L.A. anymore. You know why? Because it worked. Now, cars were never going to be fast again. There wasn't going to be any performance. The performance era is dead. Remember, this is when we were coming first getting into smog. And cars, let me tell you, oh my gosh, late 70s, early 80s American cars were horrible. They were garbage because American companies hadn't figured out emissions regulations yet. And they didn't know how to make small cars. They had V8s that made 140 horsepower and they called that fast. They were garbage cars. You know what happened? They figured it out. And now 500 horsepower is practically common. And along with that 500 horsepower, you have incredible technology in the car that requires less maintenance than they ever did. Yeah. Yeah, they figured it out. Now, if in 1985, when the Air Resources Board started these regulations, if these same people whining had looked at their time machine and jumped forward to 2022, they probably would have shut the hell up and said, wow, cars are going to be better than they ever were. Because guess what? They are. Me and a buddy of mine, hot rod guy all his life, now has a Tesla, loves it. And we talked about the golden age of cars. And I said, yeah, it's right now. I love cars from the 60s. My first car was a 67 Camaro. Those old Corvettes and Mustangs and Z28s and all those old hot rods are magnificent. Just pure muscle. Pure big, loud engines. They couldn't compete with cars today. Cars today silently have more power. Again, 500 horsepower, routine. We've got SUVs with 600 horsepower. We've got cars with 400 horsepower getting 25 miles a gallon cruising because they can turn off four cylinders when they don't need the power for the eight. Technology, it wins. We're moving forward. So I'm sorry that you're going to be hot from 4 to 9 p.m., but guess what? We all are. We live in Southern California. It's over 100 degrees. We got a slight break today. It was going to rain, and it was like, nah, I fooled you. I don't know how the temperature at 2 o'clock was 89 degrees, and at 6 o'clock was 104. Oh, that would be climate change. Yeah, that's science. Something else we deny. Back in the day, you'd listen to scientists. There was a time when if you worried about the electrical grid, you would talk to electrical engineers. You would talk to physicists. They would explain to you how it works and how it can be expanded and what works. But now you go on the Nextdoor app. You talk to Bill because Bill's mad. He can't do laundry at 8:30. He can't run the dishwasher at 7 p.m. He can, but they just ask that he doesn't. So I'm going to listen to Bill. Bill have a degree in electrical engineering? Nah. Or maybe listen to Jane. Jane's upset because she can't do something. This ain't even a Karen issue. This is everybody. Quit whining. I'm burning up. My air conditioning sucks. I'm in battle with the home warranty company to update my air conditioning because it's old and it uses old technology and it's just not that strong. But somehow me and the Hulk get by. We have this new technology. We call it a fan. Seems to work. Sit by the fan. Blow the cold air on you. Yeah, we're getting by. I don't know how. Trust me. Hulk gets hot quick. You got to keep the dog cool. This is our society today. The idea of sacrifice for the common good is unheard of when you can whine on Nextdoor or Twitter or choose your app to whine. Shut up. Why don't we work together and solve a problem like the Air Resources Board did or like America did during the war or something? Why don't we give credit to scientists and engineers who studied and work and know what they're doing and give them time? Instead, we'll be like Ted Cruz. When the power grid goes out in Texas, you somehow blame the federal government and hop on a plane and go to Mexico and watch people die. You know what you just heard? That little beep you just heard? That was my washing machine. It's 12:43 a.m. and I just finished doing a load of laundry because it's past prime time. And I'm still alive. And yeah, I stay up later than most people, but you can always, 9 o'clock isn't that late. Do some laundry at 9:30, throw it in the dryer, wake up, it's done. I don't know. I'm not great. I'm not super. I bitch and moan. I'm not big on sacrifice, but something like this is pretty easy to comply with. It's very temporary, and it does people some good. So, to all the whiners, shut up. Take a shower. Come out of the shower. There's nothing wrong with taking showers, even though we're running low on water. I guess that's over, too. I see people watering the gardens. Unreal. Take a 5-minute shower. Come out. You're cooled off. Pretty simple. Not the end of the world. Ugh. Ugh. Who's paying attention? You are, and I absolutely appreciate it. And before I wrap up, let me say once again, BetterHelp.com, the sponsor of this podcast. Listen, when you talk about focusing on problems rather than solution, that's something you get from therapy. I'm going to tell you a personal experience I had. I gave someone a gift as an apology for an appointment I couldn't make. They were more upset about me not making the appointment than the gift, giving them the gift as my apology. So I wrote an email explaining my point of view, what I did and why. And they were still mad. And my therapist read the emails, went back and forth. And you know, she told me, she said, "You handled this well. This isn't on you. You did the right thing." And that felt good to know that. It felt good to know that therapy I've been in helped me handle a situation and I handled it right. These are the kind of things that you get from therapy. This is about problem solving. It's about doing things a different way. I'm a believer in therapy, okay? Now, when it comes to therapy, I'm also, BetterHelp.com is a way to get therapy, okay? BetterHelp is a great option, convenient, accessible, affordable. It's entirely online. You get matched with a therapist. If you fill out a brief survey, you can switch therapists. When you want to become a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/Alonzo. Get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/Alonzo. It will help with your problem solving. Perhaps I should throw this on the Nextdoor app and this guy can get helped with the problem of charging the electric car between the hours of 4 and 9. Maybe. Maybe his therapist can talk to him. I don't know. BetterHelp.com/Alonzo. 10% off your first month. In other news, and this is sad. The world of comedy is a small neighborhood. We all know each other. We travel. We cross paths. We run into similar situations. We have similar joys and disappointments and on and on. We lost a buddy. We lost one of the good ones this week. His name's David Arnold. You may have seen his new Netflix special. You may have seen some of the shows that he worked on and wrote on. Tragically, David passed away from a massive heart attack. He's only 54 years old. He created a Nickelodeon series, That Girl Lele. Okay, he's a good dude. I knew him, you know, didn't know him super well, but we knew each other. We crossed paths. We worked together at the Factory and the Improv and a number of different clubs. And it's really sad, really sad. At 54 years old, that's young. Wife, two kids, tragic. And, you know, one of the things that happened is a lot of comics started calling each other saying, hey, have you been to the doctor? Have you been checked? Get your heart checked out, et cetera, et cetera. We got to take care of each other, people. And believe me, I'm not, listen, you know me, cynic all the way. But this is something that hits home. It hits hard. This was a good dude, man. And I don't know if it's anything that could have been prevented or found ahead of time, but it's really sad to see him go at 54. So I walk away with the lesson of, yeah, I do get regular checkups, but also, man, you got to live for today. I've been saying this for a long time. Got to live for today. Don't put it off too long because tomorrow is not promised anyone, especially when you get into your 50s and 60s. It's young, but a lot of people are dying young for a lot of reasons, and it's sad. So David, we'll laugh this weekend. All over America, we'll all be working in different clubs, and we'll be dedicating our shows to you, my friend, because you were one. You were a member of the fraternity, a damn good member of the fraternity, a super talented member of the fraternity, and a cool member of the fraternity. So, yeah, we're going to laugh for you this weekend, and we're going to look out for your family in any way we can. And to those out there listening, you know, it's the same message. Give somebody that hug or buy yourself that ice cream because life isn't promised. On that note, not to be depressing, no. I'm going to be at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood in Long Beach on Friday night, September 9th. I'm going to be at the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa and the Stand Up Club in Bellflower, California on September 10th. And I'll be laughing. I hope you are too. Football season is starting. There's a lot of talk about gambling on football. People do it. If you do it, don't do it too much. Don't lose your house over a football game. If you got a gambling problem, get some help. But if you got a football problem, your problem will be solved this weekend. And if you play fantasy football, my only question is, where do you find the time to pretend to be a general manager? I just don't know how you do that. You are paying attention. I'm Alonzo Bowden, and I appreciate you.